All right, Limits, the ball is in your court, so to speak. I just saw Stephen A. Smith arguing with Mad Dog about the top five basketball shots in history, and I've had time to reevaluate my top five, but I'd like you to take over the wheel of ball, complete with the introduction, even if there's no wheel, which is ridiculous, but I hope it's Ron's voice.
Joe, well, I have a surprise for you.
Wow, that's an updated wheel. What about the intro with Ron saying it's the wheel of ball?
You can thank Craig for that one.
Thank you, Craig. Do we have Ron's intro? I need that. I hope we do. Do you need a paw? Are you going to expend one of your paw pauses here?
I only get two.
Paul sent me a photo of him at that steakhouse. What's the steakhouse in... You're not allowed to use that music. He is in Indianapolis.
Oh, man. Just when you think things have gotten better.
He sent me a picture of him and his buddy outside of the steakhouse. Plus, Paul and I.
Come on, come all for the wheel of ball.
St. Elmo's Steakhouse.
Yes. I've always wanted to go there. And I did not when I was in Indy, and I was frustrated with myself that I did not.
He's living it up, but I'm happy for him. All right, the wheel of ball, come one, come all. Spin the wheel and give me some topics, will ya?
Come one, come all to the wheel of ball. Why is it the wheel wheeling?
You already wheeled the wheel.
I know. All right, Joe. J.O.K. has a new contract with the Cleveland Browns, the middle linebacker for the Browns, who has been a terrific player after being drafted by Cleveland in the second round. He has signed a new deal with Cleveland that will keep him with the Browns for the next three seasons.
I don't care. That's your lead story. Who cares about him and who cares about the Browns? They'll probably win every award in the NFL again after they get blown out of a playoff game. If they even get there, they have the worst contract. No matter how many good contracts they might sign, they have maybe the worst contract in the history of professional sports in this country in Deshaun Watson. Let's see how he performs this season.
And that deal is a three-year extension worth up to $39 million. The Pirates' new updated MLB Pipeline Top 30 Prospects list is out organizationally, as well as the Top 100 Prospects list in all of baseball.
Let me guess at their top five prospects.
That's what I was going to ask.
Now, we're thinking alike again.
How many Top 100 prospects do you think that the Pirates have, and can you name them?
Oh, wow. That's a different question, but it's sort of the same question. We're not including Skeens or Jones because they've graduated.
They have graduated.
Correct? How many top 100 prospects do the Pirates have, and who are they? Bubba Chandler is one.
Correct. He is the top prospect at 41 overall.
Are any of these new guys? No. Not little Nick York. Not Ron's son, Billy Cook. I'm going to say three, and I'm going to say it's Chandler, Ashcraft, and Tamar Johnson.
You are correct, but you left out this year's draft class, which is included on the updated list.
Yeah,
so
the first round
Griffin
kid.
Is 55th overall. Tamar Johnson's 84th, and Braxton Ashcraft is 96th. The Pirates have four prospects on MLB Pipeline's top 100 prospect list, which kind of is going against what Baseball America says.
Not really.
As the 27th best organization. If you're the 27th best organization, you don't have four top 100 prospects.
I would check your notes there. Plus, it's the depth of your organization. Who's the highest one? Chandler?
Chandler at 41st.
So they don't have a...
They don't have a top 40 prospect.
After 5 years of hoarding prospects, they don't have a top 40 prospect in all of baseball. And I know Skeens and Jones have graduated. I get it. But we also have Henry Davis repeating a grade, don't we? I don't know. That's not as impressive as you may think there.
Thomas Harrington ranks 5th on the top 30. Nick York is 6th. Anthony Celometto drops to 7th. Hunter Barco moves up to 8th. Paul's friend Mitch Jebb is 9th.
Yeah.
And Wyatt Sanford,
the draft pick in the second round, I believe it was, is the one who...
If he becomes a major league star and his kid plays, you know what the name of their little story will be? That's right, Sanford and Son. Next.
Very nice, Joe.
Thank you. Hurry up with the wheel, please, so we forget what I just said. Did you ever watch the show, Sanford and Son? Or are you too young for that?
No, I have never seen it.
Fabulous.
What about Wheel of Fortune?
Great show, of course.
Jared Jones will make a rehab start today for AAA Indianapolis on his way back to pitching for the Pirates. Good news for Jones. Do you think that he should be brought back and pitch the rest of the season if he does return to the majors, when he does return to the majors?
I think they should stretch his arm out just a little bit from his previous inning total. So then you can work off that for next year. What you're basically doing the rest of this season with him and Skeens is providing a baseline number of innings that you can then exceed next year. So without risking them in any way, and I don't think you are, let's raise the baseline here. So next year, if they're in contention in August and September, they'll have some innings to use. You know, they'll have a higher threshold there. That makes sense to me, doesn't it, to you?
It does, because if they don't push him to about 120, 130 innings this year, I don't think 130 is realistic at this point, then you're going to be having the same conversation. We're going to have to skip a start if he pitches into the playoffs.
I don't know if I can take that anymore. I do know they've squandered year one of Skeens, and I don't think they're getting more than four or five. So
you only got four left.
That's at least 20% of Skeens you've now squandered. Go ahead. Because you're not willing to part with prospects. Maybe the wheel could be a little shorter, but go ahead.
Austin Matthews has been named the 26th captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs as the C has been passed over from John Tavares to Matthews.
Who cares? That means that Austin Matthews now will be eliminated from the playoffs every year as a captain instead of just an alternate captain.
My thing with Austin Matthews is, why does he spell his name with an O and not an I?
That's a good question.
I don't understand that.
I'll say this about him. He's already an all-time sniper. Just an unbelievable goal scorer. But as far as being a captain, it really doesn't matter who captains the Maple Leafs to their latest playoff loss. It's got to be somebody, right? That hurt my eardrums limits.
It hurt mine, too. Nickelodeon and CBS Sports are teaming up with the NFL once again for the 2024 football season. There will be a special slime-filled NFL wildcard game for kids and families this upcoming year. I don't know. Like, I'm sure it's nice if you're 12. I think it's kind of dumb that they're doing this. But, I mean, they get an audience for it. And people watch it. I will not be one person who ever watches it or finds it enamoring,
but
I am also 23 years old.
Right. They're trying to get younger viewers. Listen, I'm never going to question the NFL when it comes to marketing. I'll question them on a lot of things.
What about the kickoff? They marketed that terribly.
Yes. But when it comes to attracting viewers, they're brilliant, and they always have been. More importantly, the best Nickelodeon shows ever. Can IT hear me in there? Or are we going to have another awkward moment where I'm talking to him and he doesn't hear me? Okay. My top three Nickelodeon shows of all time. And I'll go 3-1 as if it's the hockey three stars. Three is iCarly. I wish we could play the theme song. I guess
yes.
We can't. It's an all-time theme song and just a really fun and funny show. Two, of course, is SpongeBob SquarePants, which my stepson Michael used to watch. He used to watch iCarly, too, but I think one of the reasons he's so smart is from watching SpongeBob, honestly. And one is Hey Arnold. Hot dog, did that to you? That's a great show and an underrated show. 3-2-1, those are my Nickelodeons. I honestly, or obviously, left out Drake and Josh. I left out Fairly Odd Parents,
right,
which I hate with a passion.
Oh, that's a good show.
I left out Rugrats. I left out The Amanda Show, Ren and Stimpy. Your top three Nickelodeon shows, 3-1, City Limits.
iCarly is number one for me.
Yeah, no, that's not going 3-1, but okay.
I'm sorry. Drake and Josh is number two.
Yes.
So we'll split it right down the middle.
Which was a great show, wasn't it?
Yeah, Drake and Josh was awesome.
Yeah.
And number three was Victorious, which is another show from the mid-2000s.
Wow.
That was Victorious was very good, too. Ariana Grande was on that show. How about that?
I love her. Well, wait, what show was she on where she had the unbelievably annoying accent?
Sam and Cat.
Oh, I hate that
show. It was so bad.
I hate that show.
It only went for a couple years, and then Jeanette McCurdy, or I think I pronounced her name right, completely has disappeared off the face of the earth.
By the way, speaking of voices and things that annoy people, and I know my voice does too, so believe me, I know. That Miller Lite commercial that comes on 1,000 times during every broadcast where the guy yells at the end, I want to reach into my TV and pull his mustache off.
I've never heard of it.
Yes, you have. I texted you about it the other day.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it 1,000 times.
I hate that. My wife hates that. It's actually disturbing to our household. Like, she'll yell in from the other room, tell that guy to shut up or turn down the TV. It's so irritating. Am I alone in that? I don't think I am.
No, you are not alone. I find it very annoying, and it just needs to go away. But at the same time, Joe, from a marketing perspective, that is what's making you remember the commercial.
I don't hate
They're
a lot.
They're doing what they want. They want you to remember the commercial for whatever reason it might be, and they're getting you hook, line, and sinker.
But I hate that guy. I feel hatred toward him.
The It Is Both guy.
Yeah. What does he do at the end?
He says, It Is Both.
How does he say it? Yell it.
It Is Both.
No, way louder than that is what he does.
Yeah, do you want everyone's eardrums to be blown out
care.
Driving
just,
around right
just,
now?
Oh, I can't be. We can't be the only two. Check the text line to see if other people also hate that guy.
Yes. One guy says, I hate that commercial.
God, do I hate that commercial.
Somebody else said, hey, Arnold is very underrated and heavily influenced by the city of Pittsburgh.
It's a great show. Truly great show. Hot dog, did that tell you?
Cat dog is another one that has been brought up.
Yeah. How about Danny Phantom?
Danny Phantom was awesome. But, I mean, Fairly Odd Parents was good, Joe.
You know what else? Now, Fairly Odd Parents was
Odd
another
Parents
one because of the
good.
Voice. Because of the voice of a couple
Cosmo
of the people.
Cosmo and Wanda.
Oh, I wanted to punt.
Oh, that was one of my favorite shows
They should be in the commercial with that Miller Lite guy. That's how bad they were.
The Disney Channel also had some good shows. Wizards of Waverly Place was good.
Yeah.
I didn't like any of those musical shows or whatever
you know
else
what else
they
was
did.
Good is The Last Airbender, Avatar.
Yes, that was one of my favorites, too.
That was
all Nickelodeon.
Even as an adult, I found that compelling. It was a drama, not unlike Star Wars. It was you had to follow it week to week.
And then the Avatar, the new Avatar, where, like, not The Last Airbender, but the other one.
Yeah.
That I thought was going to end up being the same thing. Complete disappointment when I saw that compared to The Last Airbender.
How does IT feel? Is he a Wild Thornberries guy? Ren and Stimpy? What were his favorite Nickelodeon shows?
Definitely Drake and Josh.
Yeah, we all had that.
iCarly's got to be up there.
iCarly was great.
And then you can't leave out SpongeBob.
Did you leave out SpongeBob?
I did, yes. I didn't watch SpongeBob growing up. I wasn't allowed to.
One of the most brilliant television shows ever written.
My mom thought SpongeBob was inappropriate, so I never was able to watch it.
What was inappropriate about SpongeBob?
I don't know.
He was a talking sponge.
I didn't ask questions. I did ask questions, but the answers were never what I was supposed to receive. And then I've gotten older and realized I didn't need to watch SpongeBob. It's not that good as people say it is, and people make fun of me for saying that
all the time. What was Zoe 101, IT?
Zoe 101.
Nickelodeon?
Wasn't that Disney Channel?
That was
Nickelodeon.
Compelling. That was a great show.
I'm going to put Zoe 101 ahead of Victorious. Victorious would be fourth.
Hold on, this
Zoe 101 might be second.
It might be. This show or this website that rates movies and shows has the top 35 Nickelodeon shows of all time. They have All That as number one. What is that? I never saw it. A sketch comedy?
I don't know.
How is that number one?
That might have been after my time.
Followed by Rugrats, anyone?
I've heard of Rugrats. That was before my time. Not like I was talking about Are You Afraid of the Dark, which is not before my time, too, but, you know, streaming.
SpongeBob SquarePants, Hey Arnold, and The Amanda Show gets number five. Drake and iCarly is only number 10. You know what else was a great show? I forgot what it was. Wait, The Amanda
Somebody
Show.
Somebody said SpongeBob was my son's first words.
I'm telling you, man, that thing has saved more parents than anything on earth. is SpongeBob. It's the best thing since Binky's.
One of the texters says, watch SpongeBob all the time with my kids, and it has a lot of adult humor that the kids
don't get.
As a parent, you're like, oh, bleep, really?
Yeah, that was it. It also, maybe that's what your mom objected to.
Probably was.
But I don't think your brain was formed. What is the Angry Beavers?
Yes, somebody texted in the Angry Beavers.
The best kids show of all time. That my daughter watched was the Berenstain Bears.
Yes, the Berenstain Bears.
That was just a heartwarming, again, well-written show that had a little moral at the end, like Welcome Back, Kotter did all those years ago. What a great show that was. I was emotionally wrapped into that show.
When I went to Cedar Point, they used to, after every ride, say, welcome back, riders. How was your ride? And they didn't give you any chance to respond. Like, they didn't give you any time. They immediately said, awesome. And it was one of the worst experiences I've ever had on an amusement park.
Wait, what does that have to do with the Berenstain Bears?
I don't know. It made me think when you were saying, like, how was the show and stuff like that. It made me think of that. Completely off topic, but
you know what else was
good?
How was
the ride? They never gave me a chance to say how the ride was.
Well, they should have.
They automatically said awesome.
They should have.
I know, they should have.
They should have given you your right to have feelings about it.
The ride was nice, but I could have said, like, no, like, I was scared the whole time. Awesome.
Cat in the Hat was great, too,
yeah.
Incidentally. All right, let's go to the last item you have.
That was the last item I had.
That was the last item you had. All right, then let's get quickly to the 5 greatest shots in basketball history. I think I overdid it with Steph the other day, putting it 3.
Yes.
Here's Mad Dog. I didn't catch Stephen A's. Mad Dog is Jordan's game winner against the Jazz.
That's what I had.
The Lorenzo Charles dunk. The Magic Baby Hook in Boston. Kyrie beating the Warriors as he shoots over Steph. And Don Nelson against the Lakers in 1969. Come on. Please. The 5 greatest basketball shots in history in order, City Limits, are these, in my not so humble opinion.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. I saw every one of these watching TV live, and I saw one of them in person, believe it or not. Number 1 of all time is the Lorenzo Charles dunk. It just is. The nature of the upset, the aftermath, everything, what actually happened. A shot that was an air ball, and a guy appears from nowhere and dunks the ball over Hakeem Olajuwon at the buzzer. Come on. That's number 1. Christian Laettner, number 2. We don't have to overcomplicate this. It was maybe the greatest overall basketball play of all time. And it ended not only with him making a shot, but having the presence of mind, maybe because he's from Buffalo, to give a little fake and turn and then shoot the ball. Number 3, I was watching this at 144 Englewood in Buffalo, where I lived with one guy named Tom who made tie-dye shirts for a living and sold them at Grateful Dead concerts around the country, and another guy named Charlie who tripped on acid. And I thought at one point that Charlie was putting drugs through the vents in the house and became very paranoid. Beside the point, that's where I watched Magic's baby hook to beat the Celtics. The setting, the shot itself over Kevin McHale in Boston, please. That's the 3rd greatest shot of all time. Number 4 is Jordan beats the Cavs, not Jordan beats the Jazz. Jordan beats the Cavaliers. It was really his first great, memorable playoff shot. I was in the building with my brother and dad, Craig Elo. The Cavs went ahead on a perfect out-of-bounds play right before that. Everybody thought the game was over. Ron Harper wanted to guard Jordan. Lenny Wilkins said, no, we'll put Elo on him. Nice move, Lenny. And then Jordan jumps up and then under him and makes that shot. We all know the celebration. We've seen it a million times. And number 5 is Steph's shot the other day. Because it was Steph, because it was so improbable, because it clinched a gold medal that they might not win without him. Lorenzo Charles, Laettner, Magic, Jordan, Steph. You?
Number 1 is the Jordan shot against the Jazz in the championship.
Okay.
To win the title.
Yes.
It's the one that I'm sticking with. The Steph shot, because I haven't completely written it out like I know you have. The Steph shot is top five for me.
Okay.
It's in that list. But, I mean, the Jimmy V winning shot. Christian Laettner is number two.
Yeah.
In my list. I'm going to put...
Lorenzo Charles anywhere in here?
Lorenzo Charles is going to be four. Steph Curry, three.
Yeah.
Number five is the Kawhi bounce, bounce, bounce around
game.
That's
a great
shot against the Philadelphia 76ers to move on and win game seven.
And the fact that they won that series and I believe went on to win the championship. Am I right about that? That one, that's a tough one.
Monumental.
That one's up there with Steph. All right. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates. Personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We have a jam-packed noon hour. All our guests will be on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Let's get back to Pirate Talk. People are angry. Last night's game, again, just a comedy of errors, including two unearned runs. I'm curious what people would do with O'Neill Cruz and Henry Davis. Let's whittle it down to those two. What do you do with these guys in the future position-wise? What do you do? Talking about the number one overall pick in the draft and one of the most talented players in all of baseball is the other guy. Where do they play defensively? You think a Skeens shutdown's coming in September?
Maybe one start, but I can't see more than that. And a lot of it is because of what we've talked about. They had a set plan.
You can't see it? I mean,
I can see it. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But one start is all that I could see, just if they feel like his workload has gotten to be too much and the point where they feel uncomfortable with the amount of innings that he's thrown. But their whole plan at the beginning of the year was to avoid that. Now, I know plans change, but I still think they are so much looking into the future than they are the present, and that is part of the problem. But that's why I think they've built this entire plan for next season, more importantly.
Yeah, I do agree with
that. So that he throws 160 innings this year, maybe 170, so that he can throw 200 next year.
I do agree with that. For better or worse, I was reading a column by DK on how this whole thing is really geared for 2025 to 27. And I would extrapolate from that and say that I'm not sure. Now, you never want it to end like this, with a catastrophic, humiliating losing streak where the team just comes apart. But I wonder if deep inside, Ben Cherington and company are just as happy not to make the playoffs. I think the ideal scenario for this season for them would have been to be in it in September, play a bunch of exciting games, and just miss.
Okay, I'm glad you brought this up, because this is something that infuriates me when I'm on social media and I see this.
Well, let me just explain.
Okay.
I think that way, first of all, you get all the money and revenue that comes from being in it into September. But then you don't have a baseline that you have to exceed next year of the playoffs. That's number one. Number two, you don't have to use Skeens and Jones into the playoffs, maybe not even into games in late September. That's a bonus. So those two things are gigantic for me, and I wonder if deep inside they're thinking, Charrington's thinking, it's just as well that we're not going to make it. But again, you never want to see it end like this. You want to extend it into September.
I see people on social media all the time, whether it's this big of a losing streak or the Pirates start to fall off or whatever it might happen, say, I'm sure Ben Cherington is somewhere so happy right now that he's closer to the number one overall draft pick. I don't understand why people think that is something that is top of mind to Ben Cherington. In what world, in what reality, is it a good thing for Ben Cherington career-wise? And in what reason is it in his best benefit for the team not to be competitive, not to be good, and for the guys that he's drafted not to thrive?
But you can see my point that he may think deep inside it's best to not make the playoffs this year. Because then he has to make him, because then that becomes the baseline.
Why? Because then a couple of guys throw a couple more innings next year.
A lot.
And there's more expectations. Heightened expectations should not be a detriment.
So you don't think that somewhere deep inside Well, then why didn't he go all in then? That would be my question back to you. If you think Ben Cherington is thinking this is playoffs or bust and anything less is a disappointment, we got to get there, there's no silver lining in missing, then why didn't he go all in?
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is a lot of people like to make it out to believe that Ben Cherington wants this team to fail.
No.
And doesn't want... on social media, on Twitter, it seems like half the Pirates population of fans believe that.
But those people aren't far off what I'm saying. That I think for Ben Cherington, the ideal scenario this season would have been to, and Bob Nutting too, would have been to play into September a bunch of big games and fall just short. That way you can say we improved on last year. We were a legitimate contender. Nobody can argue that we took significant strides forward. And then the unspoken part would be, plus we didn't make the playoffs. So that's not the bar to live up to right now. Plus, yeah, I mean, Skeens and Jones, once you got into the playoffs, you had a real chance. I'm not saying I agree with this line of thinking. You would have had to extend those guys way, way beyond what you wanted to.
But shouldn't that be the bottom baseline of the expectation?
Yeah, like, it should be.
That's not saying much. When you win 76 games last year, you slightly improve. Let's say you win 80. Maybe you win 81 or 82. It's an improvement. But is it still a disappointment? I still think so.
They'll tell
you
that.
It's not good enough.
And certainly, we can all agree that the way it's ended this year is a disaster
for
everybody.
And if it continues to trend in this direction, and they finish well below 500, bottom third in the National League in terms of total wins, they're trending that way in run differential, whatever stat you want to look at, it's just not good enough, and there has to be accountability. If Derek Shelton returns, the hitting coach has to be gone, and a bunch of other coaches have to be gone. If you keep Oscar Marine, okay. He's done a good job with the pitching staff this year, but there's no reason that Andy Haynes should still be the hitting coach of this team right now. There's none.
I agree with that. 15-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. The Fan, 101 FM. 100.1 FM, I should say, AM 1020 KDK and WAMO 107.3, partnering to support Pittsburgh public school students for the school year, providing stuffed backpacks for the hashtag Pittsburgh for PPS Backpack Drive. Visit the link on our homepage, 937thefan.com. Support as an individual or a group. Help ensure a good start to the school year. Our baseball talk on the Fan that we just engaged in, rather emotionally, I might add, is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Coming up, Dan Zangrilli. He's never short of opinions on where the Pirates are and what they're doing. He predicted their demise in some ways. He did.